me, if you will. So I'm going to read several scriptures today. So you got to stay with me and focus, concentrate on the word of the Lord today. Galatians chapter 6, let's go back there again. Will you stay with me for a little bit? I'm kind of stopping. I had three more principles of sowing and reaping that I wanted to finish today, but I'm kind of interrupting this in the middle because I felt impressed to minister on reversing the curse. Is if there is a harvest going on in our life, why is that? And how do I reverse that? And you need to know. Some of you are walking under, number one, some misinformation. Number two, you're walking under a lie that the enemy has told you. And I don't want you to misunderstand me that our actions result in consequences. That's just silliness to think that we can act any way we want to and God turns his head away from us. It has nothing to do with God turning his head away from us. When you fulfill something and you seed something, there is going to be a consequence. Amen? Amen. If I throw an apple at Sean, if I throw an apple at Shane, and I throw it at him, and he does not move, the apple will, according to the accuracy of my ability to throw, more than likely at a shorter distance. But if I throw the apple at him and he does not move, the apple will hit him somewhere in his body. Amen? And he can confess all day. The apple will not, it doesn't matter. There's a principle there, isn't there? There's a consequence. He suffers a consequence because I threw the apple at him and he's an innocent party. I threw the apple at him and I'm a guilty party. But can I tell you something today? The blood of Jesus takes care of both. Oh, you're not hearing me today. Oh, come on now. I said the blood of Jesus takes care of both. I said the blood of Jesus takes care of both. And if we'll walk in it, I'm going to tell you something. We could set a lot of people free from their guilt, from their remorse, from their shame. And there's a lot of people walking in their guilt and their remorse and their shame simply because they do not understand about what Jesus has done. And because we don't understand what he has done, amen, we are constantly walking, and we're going to look at that just for a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, which I know I have a severe reputation for that. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, real quick, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? So, I mean, it's very clear here, and I think I've made it clear in my teaching, that number one is, the distinctive things that are here is this, either I'm sowing to the flesh or I'm sowing to the Spirit. If I'm sowing to the flesh, what is my flesh? Well, my flesh is that part of me that has not been redeemed. And I have a choice. I have a choice every day whether I want to sow to my flesh or I want to sow to my Spirit. If I want to sow to my attitude, my unrenewed attitude, I have the choice to do that. Well, you made me mad. I just want you to think about that for a second. You made me mad. Are you hearing that? You, her, she makes me mad. Just want you to think about that for a second. That's what we're saying. And so therefore, what we are doing is that we're allowing ourselves to be made in another image. But the Bible says that we have been made in the image of God and after his likeness, he created us. Who created us? God created us. God created us after His image and His likeness. God created us after His image and His likeness. Come on, man. God's giving me something for you today. I want you to hear me. Amen? And so God created us after His image and likeness, but we're walking around and we are saying, "You made me wounded like this. You hurt me. You disappointed me. You let me down. You made this in my life. You made me. I'm sorry because of you. See? I am because of my father. We have people who are making multiple millions of dollars a year off of mental health and psychiatry and therapy. I'm not discounting it. I'm just telling you that it's not kingdom. It's not God's ultimate for your life. We got pharmaceutical companies that are making billions of dollars a year to pump pills into people's lives to manage their behaviors. And I want you to know today is that a behavior can be changed if a mind can be changed. And the only one that I have ever found who can change my thinking is the Word of the Living God. And if my mind can be renewed, my behavior can change. I said if my mind can be changed, my behavior can be changed. And as long as my mind is set, my behavior stays the same. I was watching last night it's one of my favorite shows. It's Property Brothers. And these people were living in this hotel, and they had a little boy who was 5-7 years old, and then they had one of those two-year-olds. Amen? And I was watching the mother, and they had a baby bed, and this boy is wired. Woo. And so I was watching, and he had managed to climb up on the baby bed, and he is standing on the back of the baby bed, and he's doing a dive off into the mattress. And she's telling him, "Stop it. You will not do that." And the next scene comes, and here he's standing on the back, and she is letting him, and she's holding. He's won. You've lost. Because his mind, his one-year-old mind, is so much stronger than your 30-year-old mind. Because you have said it's easier to let him have his way than it is to show him that there are dangers he cannot see. Are you listening to me? And I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to show you something, that the mind, if the mind can be changed, the behavior can be changed. I'm telling you that if your mind can be changed about some things in your life, if God can renew your thinking about some things, then your behavior will stop. You will stop sowing the seed that you're sowing in your life. Thank you for that smeltering of hand claps this morning. It's encouraging me to go on. All right, look. In Mark chapter 4. So, Pastor, you're so facetious. I know. My wife tells me all the time. And I say, "You're kidding." Look at here, Mark 4. Don't worry about it. The sower soweth the word. Now, I want you to look. Keep your finger there. And go with me to Matthew chapter 13. I want to clarify who the sower is in verse 37. Jim, you got to pick us up. Now it's getting on my nerves. Thanks, sir. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the gospel seed is who?" Who is it? Who's sowing the seed? He is sowing the seed. He is sowing the seed. But he has given the responsibility unto us also that we are seed sowers, because he lives and he abides within us. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time that we speak the word of God, which is the seed of God, we understand that this is 66 bags of seed that is before us. that every time that we use the Word of God and knowing to use it correctly and expertly, that we can create anything in our life if it is the will of God. Are you hearing me? And there are things that are created in our life that are not even created by the Word of God that we create out of our own human ability. But you say, how is it possible? Because you have been created in the image and the likeness of God. And if you use that ability incorrectly, that is why that you're creating things in your life, sowing seeds and having harvests that are terrible, devastating harvests, troubling harvests, harvests that you are laboring that is exhausting you day and night. And I'm here to tell you, God has a better answer for you today. God has a better answer for our lives. Amen? God has a better answer. But here in Mark chapter 4, in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Also, when they are heard, I just want to back up. Amen. Into verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have what? When they have what? Amen. I hear the right side participating here. Amen. Do you guys have another translation that I don't know about? Amen. Let's try it again. Amen. Amen. We're going to give you the words. They have heard. Everybody say it. They have heard. Right, guys? Okay. Who's heard? What have they heard? They've heard the word. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Did they not hear? So the wayside, that part in our heart that is hardened, did we hear the word of God? That's what it says, doesn't it? It says, they have heard, but Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which have sown on stony ground, who when they have what? Heard, when they have heard the word, I immediately receive it with gladness. So those even on stony ground did what? They heard. They heard the word. Amen. Did the people on the wayside hear it? They heard it. Did the people on the stony hear it? Yeah. So the issue here, we're seeing something that is in common. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves. Who don't? The ones, that part of our life that doesn't have, that has stony ground. We understand if you want to get the tapes and you want to listen online, the series that I've been preaching is that we understand that our life is a garden. It doesn't mean that our whole life is stony. It doesn't mean that our whole life is thorny. But sometimes if we're not careful, and what I've been teaching is if you're not careful, somebody's going to label, because when somebody came into your life, they saw you in that stony position. Hello. They saw you in that stony atmosphere, that attitude. They only know you by stony. Stony. They only know you by thorny. Thorny. There goes thorny. Amen? They only know you by the wayside. People at work, people at school, your family, they only know you. And what they have labeled you is, there goes thorny. I'm not declaring nothing over any of you. I'm just saying, using you as an example today. But you're sitting on the front row, and what is the price of sitting on the front row? Amen. You are a part of the message. Right? So here we're labeled, and then somebody else, once we are labeled, then what happens is that somebody else begins to confirm the label that you have in your life, and all of a sudden you have become the stony Christian. And everywhere you go, you be the stony Christian. You the thorny Christian. You the wayside Christian. You're the one with the hard heart. You the hard head. You can't hear nothing. No, the problem is you can't hear on that part of your life. And you know you can't hear, because every time somebody brings it up, you go, oh, there's many things about you that is wonderful. There are many things about you that is glorious. But touch that part, and all of a sudden you become ninja Christian. You're going to kung fu somebody in the throat. Amen? You're going to punch in dead on because they cannot touch that part of your life. No. That you don't. Oh, thorny. Hey, prickly. Hard. They hear the word. But that's not the problem. The problem is not the hearing. The problem is, come on, everybody say it. The problem is not the hearing. The seed's been thrown. We know there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is pure. It's the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God. The seed is good. The Word is good. And what God is seeding into life, it's there. It's not the fact that we can't hear. We can hear. Can you hear me, Shana? But it didn't matter that Mama said, don't do that. Well, the fact he didn't hear his mom, the fact was he didn't want to do what his mama was saying to do. See, now there's one of those real quiet moments in the church. I haven't quite figured out what that is yet. I don't know if it is Silence of Lambs. I think it's like, whew. Yeah. It's not because our kids can't hear. It's not because we can't hear. See, the issues we're dealing with our kids, the issues that we're dealing with, God's dealing with us, it's not because we are not hearing. What's the problem then, Pastor? It's obeying. Oh, dong. There's that word. I was trying to avoid it. Look, Mark chapter 4, a little bit further. They have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution, because the thing of it is that somebody sees you at that stony place in your heart, those rocks. So you go from place to place because that stony place is what rules your life. That thorny place is what's ruled your whole life. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you need to hear this. I got an answer. We ain't going to stay here, but we're going to make it clear. Amen? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is it's labeling that happens within the church. See, a pastor can't afford to label people. See, you label people. I label people. We label people. But a pastor has to be careful about labeling people, because once he labels somebody, you can label somebody and say, man, they are a rebellious person. No, they just got a thorny place in their life. And that thing's been exalted for so long. That thing has been there for so long. That's all that your life has become. You can't see the other parts of your life. Can't see the good things that God's doing in your life. All you can see is the thorny things in your life. All you can see is that place that's dysfunctional in your life. All you can see is what your mama called you. All you can see is your trauma. All you can see is your pain. And so you repeat the process of sin in your life. It's not because God's turning his face away from you. The Bible says your iniquities have separated you from God. It doesn't say God gets mad, stomps out of the room because you've been bad or you did a bad thing. No, what the problem is this, is that your iniquities and then guilt and condemnation comes in, and then it separates you because you're afraid to go to a righteous God thinking that God's going to judge you, and God's not really going to judge you at all. God's going to forgive you. It's like the communion service we're going to have in a little bit. Somebody told me the other day that every time communion service, and I know people do this, that every time communion is served, they never take the bread and they never take the wine because they feel like they are unworthy to take the bread and the wine. Oh, you know people. Maybe you've been there. And I said to this individual, but that's the point. I said, that's the point. The point of the communion is to remind us about forgiveness and healing for our lives. And if you are in a place of sin, if you are in a place to where that you have fallen back into an old habit and fallen back into a place then you need to rejoice. You have a moment here with the bread and the cup, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me, of the covenant that I died and I shed my blood for you, so that you can know that you're forgiven. And if you've got to ask me 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 100 times a day, until that thing finally is rooted in you, and we get the stones out and the thorns out of your life, to where that you're finally, completely free from that thing. But you're not going to be free from that thing as long as you are enslaved in your mind. Amen? That's why that in some areas of our life, we're just so wonderful and loving. Amen? That's why it's easier to be friendly to strangers than your own family. Well, I don't understand, Pastor. Why is that? Well, it's because they don't know you. And you know they don't know you. And you kind of got a free zone to fly in. Because they don't know you yet. They haven't experienced your stony place. They haven't experienced your thorny place at Christmas. They haven't experienced your hard place when somebody makes a mistake, and they haven't experienced that part of you. That's why. But how many knows that we, the church, have got to become different? That even though there are stony places in our hearts and our lives, there's nobody here, not a man, woman, boy, or girl, that is here today that doesn't have an area of your life that is not completely redeemed yet, because we have not learned to submit that area to our life. But if you are judging your life by that area of your life, then you are still walking under the curse. Quit letting that area define you. Quit letting that weakness define you. Quit letting it become the tag on your life. Quit introducing you as, hello, my name is Stony. Hello, my name is Thorny. Hello, I'm hard and I'm going to eventually hurt you. Amen? Man, this is great teaching. Jeez, oh Pete. Not because I'm teaching. It's because of the power of the Word. If we just realize the power of the Word to change our life. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But Pastor, that part, I've been down. I've tried. I've done it over and over again. It doesn't make any difference how many times you've tried. How many times you've attempted to care for that area of your life. I'm telling you today is this. That He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be in your garden. I'll be in your life. I'm here. I'm here to stay. I'm here to work through your life. I'm here to deal with the stony places of your life. I'm here to deal with the thorny places of your life. I'm here to work it all out by my grace, by my Holy Spirit. I have an abundance of supply and sources and resources in heaven to meet whatever need that is in your life. Your doubt's not bigger than me. Your fear's not bigger than me. I got it all covered. I covered it at the cross. I took all of your fears there. I took all of your sorrows there. I took all of your pains there. I took every bit of who you were. All of your filth, all of your ugliness, all of your death, all of your sickness. I took it all to the cross and I crucified it there. And you're carrying. You're carrying something completely unnecessary. Amen. Two things they had in common. Number one, they heard. And the second thing here is their ability to receive. Here's what I want you to stop doing. Number one, stop justifying the area in your life and stop justifying what's in somebody else's life. Let the Holy Ghost do it. Ooh, I didn't get a whole lot of amens off of that. Pastor, I don't think I'm ready to give up my position, my job, because I know that God's called me to this. I'm there to be the watcher. the checker, the eye. My eyes go to and fro throughout the land of the church to find all of those who have faults and failures in their life. And I watch closely. God has made me to be the judge of all the weak preachers in the world and to declare it to the world. Wow, thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your great insight. Wow, I wonder what your tag is. I wonder what your great fear is that you're screaming louder than anybody else. Why, you afraid somebody's going to see it? Let me give you a clue. It's not a secret. Not a secret. And your secret life's no secret anymore. Number one, God already knew about it. Number two, we know the devil knows about it. That's why he can keep blackmailing your life. That's why you can't form any relationship that's lasting sometimes, because he's always blackmailing you against your ability to have any kind of relationship, any kind of happiness. He doesn't want you to have any kind of contentment. He doesn't want you to have any kind of peace. So he makes sure of it, that he always makes sure that your stony, thorny, hard place is always there. But I'm here to declare to you that you need to seek out the good ground in your life and know this. Yeah, darling, you may have some stony. Yeah, you may have some thorny. Yes, you may have some wayside. But I'm here to tell you today, you have some good ground in your life. I said, you got some good ground. How do you know that? Because Jesus Christ lives and abides on the inside of you. He lives and he exists on the inside of you. And Jesus don't live at no junkyard. And Jesus don't live at no toxic dump center. God lives on the inside of you. And you are his workmanship. And it may feel like nothing's happened in your life. But I'm here to declare to you today that he has not forsaken you, and there is good ground in your life. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Are you there? Galatians chapter 3. We don't have the internet, so we'll have to stay with King Jimmy here today. Amen. Come on, how many knows this is the Bible that Jesus carried? Whew. Felt the anointing in that right there. I'm going to get in trouble one of these days. One of those people is going to be sitting in my service, and they're going to attack me after service. Then I'm going to have to punch them out, and then there we go. You're going to have to bail me out of jail again. You never bailed me out of jail yet. Anyways, look, here in chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Wow. I mean, if you want to read the translation, it's even stronger than this. So why are you acting so crazy for? What in the world happened? You guys are acting cuckoo. Said you began so well. And he said, you know, and I know that Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. It's been established in you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. That's what the problem was. The problem was is that someone come along and was trying to convince them that, look, yeah, you're saved, but you've got to keep the laws too. And Paul said, you know what? I was one who was perfect in the law, but yet I realized that I was yet unperfect. Because if you do not keep every point of the law, you are cursed. And so that is the insanity of trying to keep rules. Because you know what rules do? They produce more rules.
The more rules you produce in a church, that's why I struggle about any rules. I want people, and it's my naivety. I try not to be there because I always want to think best of individuals. I always want to give them. I hate locks on doors. That's me. I hate locks on doors. I hate locking my car. I hate shutting things away. If it was up to me, I'd rip all the doors off the church, off the offices. I'd rip them all off and have totally free. But the point of it is that if we did, there people wouldn't respect it. So you have to teach people to respect things and to honor things, to have their heart committed to something. Because you can't have a rule with your wife and say, if you ever cheat on me, I'll kill you.
Well, that's going to keep me... Yeah. No, I'll tell you what happens. It just takes that nature of sin and do it. You can't keep a rule, can't keep people from being sinful. There are these little signs. How many has ever seen them? You may have seen a couple of them. You may have seen them, but you ignore them. But as you're going down a road, they're usually to your right. They're up just above the eye level. Some of them have numbers on them. I don't know. My wife tells me they're there. I never see them. But, and it's a part of my rebellion. I understand. But they have numbers on them. And they're called speed limits. I ask you a question. No, I'm not going to ask you a personal question. Some of you are starting to get nervous. You're moving in your seat. Okay? I'm not being paid by the police department. Okay? But how many knows that even though they are up there, that people speed every day? Every day. Yeah, you. And me. I try to be good. I do. I try to be righteous. Amen? But my foot doesn't control my gas pedal. My brain does. I know it's wrong. Amen? And I have the lawgiver in my car many times who tells me, you're wrong. You're going to hell because you speed. And I say to her, I'm free from the curse of the law. Jesus has made me free. Amen? Laws are not going to keep you righteous. There are people. We have laws in our country that says if you kill somebody, you could be put to death. Right? But people are what? Killing people now more than ever before. We got people who think if we make more laws, if we take guns away from people. Honey, guns don't kill people. People kill people. You take your guns from those who have half of a cent to be able to know how to use a gun. Amen? Let me tell you something. We are a diverse church here. And there are many enemies that don't want us to be who we are. Amen? Somebody said to a brother here in the church this past week, I'm going to show you. Said to us, where do you go to church? Said, I go to Cornerstone. Really? Well, isn't that a mixed church? Yeah. So, well, who goes there? He said, well, there's Spanish people, black people, white people. All kinds of people go there. He said, well, I don't think that's God. Really? He said, I think you're wrong. Really? He said, yeah, I think you're wrong. He said, I think the blacks need to be with the blacks. Hispanics need to be with the Hispanics. God only knows why white people want to be alone. I have no idea why that. But he said, you're wrong. Because that's really not the way that God wants it. He wants everybody to be separate. That way everybody can feel comfortable and safe. It's exactly right. The last thing the enemy wants is for us to be together. And the last thing He wants is for us to declare to this city that we've been freed from the curse of the law. And in the kingdom, there is no color. In the kingdom, there is no color. Are you hearing me? See, it doesn't make any difference that you make laws. They made laws against racism. But we have more racism now than we ever had. Wilkes County is one of the racist places on the face of the earth. But that's why we're here. I said, that's why we're here. That's why you're here. Amen? That's why it's confusing that God would bring a big old fat white man down here to preach a message that is opposite of racism and hate. Because it confuses the mind of those kind of people. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Jesus. Did I get off? Look at here. Where am I at, Karen? Galatians. Thank you, Karen. Sound like you've lost that love and feeling. Look, Galatians 5, Galatians 6. Sorry, Galatians 3. It's in the book of Galatians. Just stay there. Look what he says here. So they were confused between the two. They were confused between the two of thinking that somehow that my actions are somehow going to bring me closer to God. But the problem was, is that their condition became worse and worse. See, they became more religious, but they didn't become more free. They practiced more religion. Amen? They gave out little stickers and little pins for attendance. But freedom left the building. Are you hearing me? See, they had more rules. They had more regulations. You say, Pastor, are we not to have any? Sure, the thing of it is that we need to realize the law had a purpose, and that was it led us to Christ, but it couldn't keep us in Christ. The law pointed them to. It was a place to where the children of Israel could have a border. It could have perimeters to try to rein them in and keep them into a level of holiness. But did it do that? No. It just made it worse because they constantly looked for ways to break the law, to worship idols, to do what they wanted to do. Why? Because the law does not purge the conscience. Paul said it himself in Romans chapter 7, is that what happens is this, is that I didn't know that adultery was wrong, that lust was wrong, until I read it in the law. But the problem is that when you read something, you see something, if it doesn't have the ability to purge your conscience and free you, you're just tormented. And you're hard, and you're thorny, and you're stony. Because those are the things that all religion does, is it creates more stones. It doesn't take stones away. It doesn't clear the thorns out of your life. It just adds more thorns. It adds more stones. It adds more hard places in our life. The only way that we can be free is found in the 10th verse. Look down there with me. There in the 10th verse of Galatians 3 and 10. Look at here. Look what it says. Powerful. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So what does the works of the law create? It creates us a mindset of being under the curse. Amen? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Amen? All things. Come on, say it. All things. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by what? The law. In the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Then why is it that sometimes even word of faith people and people who have the word of God
become hard and they become cursed themselves. I'll tell you why. Because you can take anything, even the doctrine of freedom, the doctrine of faith, and you can make it a law. You can make it to where that if somebody doesn't agree with the way you believe, that if they don't believe with the way that you act, then you know what? You ain't like me and I can't like you. And I think you're crazy. Oh, don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen? If somebody doesn't fit within the doctrinal place in your theological field, if they even get close to it, you know, it's like, danger, danger, Will Robertson. You get all nervous. You get on, oh, dear law, I've never seen that before. I don't know what that is. I don't think that's not God. Really? How do you know what God is? You don't know how God deals with somebody. What do you think God put us all together? Not for us to find out what's wrong or you shouldn't act that way, you shouldn't be that way. What God put us all here together is to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And what may be revealed when you speak out of your mouth is not the word of the living God, but the stony place in your heart. Because I can tell you, when me and her are having issues, it's not coming out of the love of Jesus. It's not coming out of the abundance of love. Because I can tell you, when I revert back to that old Adam, when I convert back to that kid on the street, when I convert back to the mindset of that borderline sociopath in my life, knowing what God has delivered me from, knowing what God has set me free from, knowing what God is, the darkness and the pit that God has brought me from, I can tell you right now, when that happens, it's not the love of God, it's not the peace of God, it is that stony, thorny, hard place of my life that is speaking out. Why? Because somehow, some way, I've let it be the ruler of my day. Amen. Amen. That's why we say things like, nothing works out for me. My life sucks. I hate my life. You know, if I could move away from Wilkes, my life would be better. Let me tell you, no, it won't. Because the problem, you got to take you. And you got to take all the stony places and all the hard places and the thorny places. And you'll have a vacation for about 3 days. But I can tell you, the first person that stumbles over your rocks, amen, you're going to be singing a song. Home, home on the range. You can't run away from those places. You can't run from. You've got to learn to run to. You've got to quit looking at other people because they don't look like you and act like you and they don't worship like you. And you've got to know that God wants to put, God, look, God's put you in a place so He can speak to you. He doesn't put you in the place you want to be. He puts you in the place He wants you to be. He's the sovereign God, not you, sweetheart. You're not the one in control. And as long as you are the one in control, as long as we are the one in charge, then it's going to be. Our life is going to be nothing but stone. Thorns and hardness. And it has nothing to do with what God has set us free from. It is our ability to hear and our ability to receive and obey. Amen? Amen? See, if we had our choice to hear and we said, you know, if Moses came to me, I'd be like, yeah, man. Yeah, just tell me anything, Moses. I can hear from you. I respect you and honor you. But guess what? We don't get Moses all the time. We get some little horned creature that gets on our everlasting nerves. or we get somebody who is acting different than we are, somebody who we never thought would bring us that word, but they bring us that word. Why? Because God wants to put you in a place to where that He can speak to your heart. Why? Because He's dealing with the areas of your life. Aren't you glad that God loves you enough, cares about you enough, sees you who you are, and that He's willing to work on your life and put you in a position to get you free? Thank God. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this week, I got just a couple more minutes, but I'm going to tell you something. God gave me a real revelation about something this week. I thought, man, that in a place that I had been several years ago, and I remember saying to God, like, God, I hate this place. I mean, I would sit there and I would think, what have I ever done to deserve this hell I'm in? I hated it. Every moment of it. And I kept looking at this person. And I thought, man, he was everything that I didn't want to be. You know what I mean? I mean, here he was, an apostle and a bishop. Amen. Preach one thing in the pulpit, live something else outside. He was so easy to be critical of. I mean, you didn't even have to work it up. You know what I mean? It's like some people, you got to wait for the ammunition to come. He'd like bring it in gunny sacks. Here's another gunny sack of all my faults and my failures. I thought I'd give you another one this week. And God spoke to me. He said, Mark, it was never about him. But aren't you glad that before you left, you saw who you really were? And because I saw who I was, and God was able to change my heart, God sent me here. If I hadn't seen who I was, and I hadn't changed my heart, and I had not changed my life, God would have never sent me to Cornerstone Toledo. God would have never put me in that position to heal my life and to restore me. Are you hearing me? God would have never healed me of the devastation of my son's death and two times dealing with cancer and all the other devastations that we've had to deal with in our life. I can tell you there will be circumstance after circumstance that will constantly reveal the stony, the thorny places, the hard places in your life. But God is eventually going to work those things out. And that's what I want to tell you today is this, is that God has freed you from the curse of the law, the curse of man, the curse of law, the curse that says that if you do this enough that somehow it'll work. I'm saying one thing to you today. Give up. Yield to the Holy Spirit today. Let God do the work in your life. No man can do that. No man can remove those things out of your life. No pastor can. No pastor's going to tell you that. Oh, no. If a pastor don't, that means I lose my job security. Baloney! If you all come into a place of fullness, and this church, the greatest thing that can happen is the more of us that are free, the more of us that come into the revelation that we are free from the curse of the law, then we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord. We'll find more common ground to be able to take the world that we live in, to take more ground in darkness and bring light to it in this community. It won't be me preaching to you all the time. It'll be us celebrating together with the unbelievers that you brought in because you got them free from darkness. Amen? If you want to reverse the curse, the first thing you've got to believe is you've been freed from the curse of the law. You have been freed from the curse of the law today. How many are thanking God that you're free from the curse of the law? How many are glad that God's working on all the areas of your life and my life today? Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Quite a while, but I just sense that so strong today. Of how that we say, man, what is keeping my harvest? What is stopping my harvest? Nobody is stopping your harvest. The devil's not even stopping your harvest. He don't have the power to separate you from the love of God. He doesn't have the power to keep you from the things of God. Only you have the power to stop you. You have the power. And God's giving you the power to be able to change that in your life. Amen? How many hears it today? Amen. How many hears it? Guys, will you come up and help me? Russell, Linda, amen. Will you guys help me? Miss Rachel, will you help me?